Okay, I'm Joel Markowitz, the editor and publisher of DC Metro Theater Arts in the DC area. And I'm talking with the great Dave Lefkowitz on Days Gone By on UNC Radio.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this fine Saturday. Very, very happy to be talking theater, as I do so often on the program. Usually I just yak into the wind. I give my own opinions, my own reviews and views. So it's always extra special when I get to talk to somebody who knows more about the theater than I do, and who sees a lot of theater, and who can talk about it with great fun and joy. This is a person who started as a lawyer, or I should say paralegal, but who still manages to find fun and joy in life somehow. His name is Joel Markowitz. He is the publisher and the editor of DCMetroTheaterArts.com. How's that for a mouthful? He also founded almost three decades ago kind of a theater-going group. We'll ask him about that. In fact, we'll ask him about a bunch of things, including all the shows that he has seen so far in this Broadway season, as well as the season in DC. So it simply remains for me to welcome to the neighborhood Joel Markowitz. Hello, Joel.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Dave.
Very pleased to. And so let's start right off with some of the shows you've seen so far, then we'll talk a bit about your life and career, and then we'll move back to some more reviews. So of the things that you've seen in the spring season on Broadway, what's really popped out at you? What have you really liked?
Well, Bullets Over Broadway, which you saw too.
Yes, I did.
It's an old-fashioned musical. It's lots of fun, great dancing. You know, it's in the St. James, where that little show that made no money, the producers.
And it's got the same director choreographer. It's got Susan Stroman.
It's got Susan Stroman, who's kicking up a storm. It's a blast, as the gangsters say.
In your review, what did you specifically point out? I mean, it's a big show. There's a huge cast, a lot of famous names in it. In fact, it's a musical. It's got Woody Allen as the writer. You only have a certain number of words. How do you pick and choose what to say, what not to say, and your overall theme?
But here's the good thing. We don't have a word limit on this show. One blessing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I talked about performances and the design. You know, the designers always get the low end of the totem pole in the review. And on my site, we really go and talk about the design because, as you know, a designer can either help a show or hurt it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially community theater, where they're moving a lot of these things around in between scenes. It can make you sit straight, as we say in Yiddish. But it needs no translation. But basically, it's a very fun show. You felt the same way, right?
Oh, yeah, I really loved it. I think it's probably now the front runner for the Tony Award for overall musical, even though it won't win best score because the music, the songs are mostly old. But I like what you also said about the set design being important. I think there's the musical If Then that's on Broadway right now, the Tom Kitt, Brian Yorkey musical.
Right, which was in D.C., you know, for a long time, trying to fix itself up.
Well, have you seen it on Broadway since?
I haven't. I actually sent John Stoltenberg, who's one of my writers. He loved the show here. He was one of the few critics who really, he just fell in love with this show. He's obsessed with this show, really.
Wow.
And so I decided, okay, I'll take my two press tickets and give it to the guy who knows this show, you know, better than I do. You know, they had reworked the opening act. Because it was very hard to follow. There were two stories going on at the same time with the same character. I got a little confused, really.
Well, that's been the main criticism for a lot of people of the show, is that you've got, and it's all about this character played by Idina Menzel, who is turning 40, she's changing her life, and then it's a fork in the road. Which road will she take? So it follows two completely different paths of how her life would go on from a particular morning. And apparently people just find that very confusing to follow. I have not seen it.
Oh, yeah, it's got an amazing cast. It's got LaShawn's in it. It's got the man from Rent, you know.
Anthony Rapp, yeah.
Anthony Rapp. It's got a lot of fantastic singing. The score, you know, I'm a big Next to Normal fan. And you know, it's always the hard thing. And what the next show that comes after a big hit is
right.
Always the show that either doesn't work, right? Or they get it by the critics go after them, or they start comparing it to the other show.
Well, Next to Normal was more than even a big hit. It was Tony winner, the winner of the Pulitzer Prize, which is fairly rare for a musical. But I was also bringing up the whole idea of the set design, where I saw Next to Normal on Broadway, a couple of years ago when that opened, and was kind of not particularly taken with it. It was an admirable piece. And then I saw the show actually done here in Greeley, Colorado, over at this university, where they staged it in a 99-seat theater in the round, and it worked like gangbusters. And I thought, aha, I never liked the set. It was all these risers and this two-level thing and steel bars, and apparently they're doing the same thing with If Then.
Well, If Then is a huge set. Now, I don't know what they've done with it in New York. All I can do is tell you about the experience I had here in D.C. But you can go to D.C. Metro Theater Arts, with an S at the end, and it's ER for theater. If you go to D.C. Metro Theater Arts and you type in If Then in the search button, everything we covered with If Then, everything that was in D.C., and I did 5 or 6 interviews with the cast when they were here. So there's all those reviews, and you can watch how the show's evolved. You can read John Stoltenberg's reviews he did in D.C. and the one in New York where he talked about the changes. So you can see how it's evolved. And the set was large here. I think with Next to Normal, having that huge set took away from some of the intimacy, is what you're saying, right?
I fully believe that,
But here it's a big story. So the big set, I like the set a lot here.
Wait, so I thought you didn't see it. Oh, no, you're talking about when it was in D.C. You saw it there and you liked
it. What John said is they haven't changed the set at all. Hmm. In fact, they made very few changes in New York.
Now, can I ask a question? I mean, we're talking about a lot about New York theater and Broadway shows, and you do see a lot of them and you review a lot of them. How does that connect with your website, which is DCMetroTheaterArts.com, which is for Washington, D.C., Columbia, Baltimore area, probably Arlington, too. How does it connect with New York?
You know what? It's the same actors who are coming our way.
Right.
We're a very small theater community now because we're so close to each other. We're only 3.5 hours, 4 hours away from New York. Mm-hmm. Only 2 hours away from Philly. And I love the Philadelphia theater community. Maybe sometime we can talk about that community on your radio show. But we're close. And a lot of New Yorkers are working here because D.C. is booming. We're now the largest theater community outside of New York. Whoever thought...
Wait. What? No. Now, you're larger than Chicago and Los Angeles?
Produced shows, out here. It's amazing. It really is amazing.
There aren't that many theaters. I mean, from what I know, in that, at least the small area, you've got, the Ford Theater, you've got the Woolly Mammoth, you've got the Kennedy Center. What else?
Oh, my God. You go to my site and go look at the 150 things that are listed. And we have community theater. And we have over 100 community theaters. And we have all these university theaters. We've got tons of stuff here. But remember, we're linked to Virginia, Maryland, D.C. We're 3 states here we're talking about.
Right. That's true. And technically 4... if you're also sending reviewers or you're writing about New York. Is there a section of New York on your site?
Well, we're just putting them all over, in the reviews, because we treat everybody as one community. And maybe it's time to make our separate New York button here. But, we're a small community. I mean, you go look at Signature Theater that won the Tony, the regional Tony Award 2 years ago. Shakespeare Theater Company here just won the regional Tony last year.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about those. I'm sorry. Yeah, of course. Yes.
Yeah, we've got, Stacy Keach is here now doing Henry IV. I mean, we've got all the stars are coming to D.C. because, A, it's a very close community. They're treated very well. Okay? And because we have great theater, and they're enjoying themselves here.
Now, let me ask, you're the publisher, the editor of DCMetroTheaterArts.com, which is, about a decade old, is it?
It's not even 2 years old.
Oh, so it's only 2 years. Well, you were doing something before that on the web.
I was working for another site called DC Theater Scene for about 6 years, and I went to another site whose name I will not mention.
Ooh, okay.
And, and then we moved here. I'm not giving them any PR, sorry. And so I started DC Metro Theater Art when I was actually laying in the hospital after a major back fusion. Okay.
A major back fusion, you said?
Yeah, I had a back fusion. And so I was lying there, and I got a call from two theaters that said, why are you working for everybody else? You know, and we'll help you start a site. Come on, you're kicking your ass here, and you're working too hard for everybody else. It's time you do your own. And so, and then Todd Clark, who does the DC Plays, another site, he said, I'll help you build the site. Come on, let's do it. And they did. They actually helped me build this site. 54 writers came with me from the other site I won't mention.
Good. Look,
and,
50, yeah.
The site. That's how we started the site.
Well, I mean, not to reveal any trade secrets or something, but are these writers paid? And if so, where's the money coming from for, you know, a local theater
all
website?
All volunteers who have other jobs and who love the theater. And I wanted to create a mentoring site.
And meaning?
We have veterans who've been writing 40, 50 years working with young writers, university writers, high school. We have three of the best CAPI writers. Those are the local high school awards for theater. So I brought together this whole family of writers and theater goers. We have to get the new generation into seats, because if we old farts are not going to be around forever. And so I've got kids, bringing kids into the theater, and that's what we need to do. And that's why the site is unique, because we're reaching out to all the theaters. If you look at the site, we don't break everything down like every other site does. We don't separate community theater from professional theater from kids. In fact, at the end of the year, we do our honors because we don't want people voting for shows they don't see. You see all those kinds of things out there.
Right.
But with 80 writers, almost 80 writers now,
wow.
I think we reviewed over 2,800 shows and concerts last year.
Good Lord.
I know. Incredible. So here we are at the end of the year, you know, sending in the shows that really moved us. And so if you made those lists, you know, our 2013 honorees, the best of 2013, you really stood out. You really stood out. And, you know, how great is it for a young kid who's aspiring to be an actor, being in the same category, in the best, you know, musical category with a Broadway star who performed at Signature Theater? How inspiring is that?
And since Wiggle.
Oh, that's the philosophy on this thing. Not to slaughter shows, not to destroy shows, but to inspire. If there's something we don't like, we'll make suggestions. We write respectfully.
So even if a show is really, really bad, you'll still cover it. You won't ignore it. You will do a review, but you won't,
Well, we won't slaughter it. We'll do it. We'll make suggestions. We'll point out things that are not good, but we'll say it in a respectful way. We won't say, oh, so-and-so, you know, performance sucked. I've read some critics have written that. Or, you know.
I've actually never written, and I've seen thousands upon thousands of, I've written thousands of reviews. I don't ever remember coming across a critic using that actual phrase when they very well could have. In many cases.
My favorite line is, have you ever considered taking up the clarinet? Okay, that's my favorite line.
That's a little rough.
No, I just think that, you know, tone is very important for me.
Yeah.
It's how you say it. And, you know, there are things we don't like. But, you know, you have to remember that most of the time when something doesn't really work, it's either the playwright or the director. A lot of actors are just doing what they're told, and they don't agree with it. So it's how you write it that's very important. Theater is still a luxury. And a lot of theaters are closing. So
hey, can I ask you a question about, now we know that Broadway theaters now, if you go to see a show on a Saturday night or a weeknight or something like that, and you go to Broadway, a regular pair of tickets, if you're not getting them at TDF or through a website discount, it's going to run you $120, $150, maybe close to even $200, not even for VIP seats, just regular seats. What are the prices like in sort of the higher-level D.C. area theaters?
Well, what's happening now, I would say in a professional theater, they're still less than $100.
Okay.
A lot of them are less than $50, you know?
Good.
and yeah, it's cheaper. Philadelphia is really cheap to go there. And, you know, a lot of the shows start in D.C. and Philly and then go to New York. So that's a good place to go visit them. You know, the prices are cheaper. And in defense of New York, you know how expensive these productions are and a lot of high equity people.
Sure.
Shows, they got to pay them. And the other thing is that every Broadway show, if you're a student, they have student deals and they have ticket rushes that you can. They have lotteries. I mean, there are ways of going cheap.
Or, well, at least cheaper. Certainly, yeah, absolutely.
Cheaper,
I was talking like regular ticket prices because, you know, there's this thing of if people want to go see a movie, even though movies have gotten more expensive, it's like, yeah, you want to go see a movie tonight? Yeah, sure. You know, $12, $10, boom, you go. There ought to be still, to be able to do that in the theater, I guess you can do that off Broadway in certain parts of New York, but it's not like you could just say, oh, let's just go see a Broadway show. Unless you're making law money. Because you can't. You know, if you don't want to stand on the TKTS line, you know, you're writing a check out for $300.
But there's BroadwayBox.com, and there's Theater Mania, and there's Playbill, and there's I don't know how many more.
Yeah, if you plan ahead, yes.
That are half-price discounts. And so, you know, Broadway Box is great because it takes you to a site called BroadwayOffers.com where you pick your own seats for half price. I mean, that's, you know, TKTS, you go there, you don't know what you're getting.
That's right, yeah.
You know, and Broadway Box is my baby.
Broadway Box, huh?
Yeah.
When you say it's her baby, you like it, but you're not involved in it, or are you?
I'm not involved with it, but boy, I send a lot of people that I should get a piece of the action.
Well, speaking of piece of the action, a couple of quick questions. Is your website, DCMetroTheaterArts.com, are you a not-for-profit, or are you a profit, or where are you?
Well, we make some advertising money, but, you know, that basically goes back into upgrading the site and everything. I mean, it would be nice if, you know, there are a lot of benefactors here in town who donate money to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. It would be nice if they would, you know, consider, you know, working with us so we could pay these writers. I would love to do that.
That would be nice. No, but also, are you a 501c3? Yeah, because then you can go for grants and stuff, or not.
Probably should be, you know, but it's something we're considering. First of all, we didn't know how the site was going to do. Three other sites in town. We are doing really well. And so if you look at our site, you'll see tons of ads. But I also help people. This is the one helping site in town. In theaters, every day I help somebody. Some theater, some actor, somebody. So, you know, most of the theaters can't afford ads, especially the small theaters or the schools. We'll do ad swap. We'll do all kinds of things to help each other get the word out. So that's
nice.
That's what the site has become. Yeah, it's the mitzvah site, okay?
I probably should have had Rabbi Saul Solomon talk to you instead of me. You're more Jewish than he is.
I know we should have some lots and bagels and do this.
We should.
Rabbi thing.
Like, let me...
Line of rabbis and campers. Why not?
A kick line of rabbis. Choreographed by Susan Stroman, of course.
Yeah, of course. And so, you know, kind of horror, as they say.
Now, we're talking, by the way, with Joel Markowitz. He is the publisher and the editor of DCMetroTheaterArts.com. You really ought to buy up the acronym URL for, like, DCMTA.com. It'd be a lot easier on people.
I know, you're right. We call it DCMTA.com.
Oh, well, there you go.
So people are used to it now.
For $12 a year, you can just buy the URL and point your other website to it, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do this after I hang up, actually.
See, I'm helping you now. You're helping other people. I'm helping Joel Markowitz.
Well, the whole idea is my philosophy. You know, I was sick for a while. I went through all these actors and everything. Theater got me well, okay?
Now, how did you do that?
If I didn't have the theater thing, I don't know if I'd be walking them. I really believe that, okay?
Now, you were in a car. You weren't in a car accident, but some drunk driver.
I was actually there. I was in a car accident, which really messed up my back. I mean, I had a back surgery or two before, like 30 years ago, but. You know, this thing happened, and unfortunately, it messed me up. But long term, there's some positives that actually come out of something like this. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. You become stronger. You find inner strength you didn't know you had. And you know, keeping busy with the theater and editing on this site, which takes like 12 to 15 hours a day.
Good Lord,
we're so busy. It just made me into a stronger person, and also took my mind off the pain. People who go through back surgery know that pain never goes away, and it never will with this, but it helped me get through all that, and so I'm trying to give back now, okay? And that's what the site is. If you look at the site, you'll see you've got small theaters, big theaters, school theaters. Everything is on the site. It's not like that everywhere else, you know? And so we're trying to show the whole picture of what this incredible theater community has become in this D.C. metro area. People come here and, like, you were shocked. Oh, my God, it's a big theater. It's growing like crazy. We can't keep up 80 writers. We can't cover half of what's out there.
Good Lord.
So, yeah, come down this way. I'll show you around.
Well, no, I know Philadelphia Theater. I've been to some D.C., but obviously not in a long time, and I'm not as well-versed as I ought to be.
You know, I was sitting at a show, one of these horrible musicals in New York a couple of years ago.
Ooh, yeah.
Three big shots, the big Maffer critics, okay? I won't mention the name, but the big Maffer critics. And they were sitting on each side of me, okay? And after this horrible show was over, you know, and one of the characters wouldn't die, finally one of them got up and said, "We got another show in 20 minutes. If you don't die now, we're going to leave you." This is true story.
What show was that? Come on, tell me, what show was it?
Oh, you know, I won't do it, don't sue me. But anyways, had a little Holocaust theme, that's all. So, and it caused a furor, okay?
Yeah, not their furor, but, yeah.
Anyways, finally this character dies, finally. Okay.
This is not the people in the picture, is it? Because a lot of people like that one.
I wouldn't say such a thing. I will not deny.
Okay.
So anyways, one of the critics looked at me and he said, "You know what? You guys are lucky in D.C. You got great theater now. Look at this dreck I have to sit through." And in fact, that show you just mentioned, I really liked, actually. So
it wasn't that one. Okay.
They were looking at me saying, "We're coming down to D.C. And a week later, there they were. Studio Theater saying, "Wow, this is great theater."
What do you think of the theater critics locally, specifically for, like, the D.C. area, in the major papers, like the Washington Post?
There's only one major paper. You know, a lot of them have cut back on it. Now that it's hard because the majority of people who are reviewing now are younger, and they're from websites.
Right.
Peter Marks,
Peter Marks. I know Peter, yeah.
And Peter's a great guy, and we don't always agree. In fact, he gets mad that my site uses the star system, and we give a lot of high ratings. So one time on Twitter, he wrote, "So I went to a pet shop, and I saw two dead fish in a tank, and I'll bet you the D.C. Metro Arts will give the fish 5 stars.
You know? Ooh.
Ooh, how mean. And so I wrote back, he said, "Just for the hell of it, buddy, you got our name wrong." And he thought it was funny because the name is D.C. Metro Theater, not D.C. Metro Art.
So I told you it's too long a name. I told you need to get that acronym. I guess he didn't mean to carp. Sorry.
Well, you know, I was floundering that day, and I was having a well of a good time.
Oh!
I was hooked on this, you know, fish thing.
You're gonna have to make me. You're gonna make me play Kipadaga's "Wet Dream" song in a minute. So
I'm doing this on porpoise here. I told him I must be getting paid below scale here that you went after me, but
I'm dying.
So I'm very proud to be known as the site that inspires and writes respectfully. He did call it then a blob.
A blob,
which I would never have used. So there you go, Peter. We're even. I highly respect him. I've learned a lot from him. But the one Peter that I love the most...
You might want to rephrase that. The one Peter that you love the most, yes?
The Peter critic that I like the most.
Oh, yes.
But the historian is Peter Felicia, who's my mentor.
Oh!
He liked Rocky, too. We should talk about Rocky, but...
Let's talk about... I love Peter. Peter's been on the radio show. He is probably the most... Not only is he maybe the most well-versed or in the top... five
he is
of
most
musical theater.
He collects all those theater stubs, you know. He's got millions of them.
Yeah, and the very fact that not only does he has this encyclopedic knowledge, and then he's able to put it out there in a very fun, playful way in the columns that he writes. There's nobody else quite like Peter.
There's nobody, and I'll tell you why.
That.
Because he has influenced me. I mean, when he put his Rocky thing out there, which was almost the same thing I wrote, which was, they did a great job with what it was. No one expected there to see Les Mis, okay? Everybody expected it. My big pull quote, which I wish they would have used, the marketing people, was, "This is the best Broadway date show." And it is, because all these people who were in front of me in the back, and I'm a schmoozer like you, I talk to everybody.
Uh-huh.
They all told me they were here on a date, because they loved the movie. And so Stephen Flaherty and Lynn Ahrens, who wrote their great score for the ages for Ragtime. You know, they're working with two characters here who hardly talk. You know, Adrian doesn't open up to the second act. And Rocky doesn't talk that much. He talks with his fists, you know.
Right.
So they had to write simple songs for simple people. And I thought that's what they did, and they accomplished it well. The music, you know, reflects their inner thoughts, and that's what musical theater does. What did you expect them to do? So the critics fetched that, you know, the music was a nothing and bop a bop a bop.
Well, people are, let's be honest. People are getting a little tired in a way of every single hit movie becoming a musical. I mean, they're holding that against. It's one thing to have very capable people like Aarons and Flaherty writing musicals and doing the job, but it's quite another when there's a difference between, like, getting the job done and being really inspired or having a spark of genius. And
I agree with you 100% there, but I still think their work was pretty damn good.
Okay, I don't know it. I didn't see Rocky. I don't have the cast album.
I did a fine job with it because you really did get into these characters through their music. I think if the music was just there for them to sing and sell a song, then I agree with you. But I think it worked here, and Peter agreed with me. I think you learned more about these characters through their music than you did with the movie, okay?
Now, what I'd like to know, Joel, is how you were able to sit there, enjoy, and appreciate Rocky when you had the experience that you mentioned to me before we started the tape rolling of the kind of audience that is going to Rocky and, like, the guy sitting in front of you.
Well, you know, look, it's a date movie show. So you're getting, as the house manager said, one of the house managers said, we've got dudes here coming that we would never see. So people who, you know, rich, poor, people love the movie, you know, people who feel like they're Rocky, you know, in a tough life, they don't have a lot of money, they're, you know, they're older and they're trying to make a comeback or survive. You know, they relate to the character and they're going to see it.
But that's a good thing.
How much it is.
That's a good thing. However, some of them just don't know theater etiquette.
Well, you know what? Theater etiquette's been a problem for years and years and years. I always kid my friends that I must have a sign on my back that says torture the Jew when I go to It never fails that I get somebody next to me who's texting through the whole thing or talking on the phone or bringing their dinner. I went to the Kennedy Center and somebody took a blanket out and was trying to have a picnic.
Oh, good Lord. I thought the blanket just to cover because they get cold when they're sitting there. No, but to eat.
Yes, I have seen it all already, people.
But tell what happened in Rocky, the guy in front of you with a hat.
Please, I had a couple in front of me. One guy had I don't know if you remember, Bonanza, but Toss Cartwright used to have this big hat, this cowboy hat, and he was wearing it, this guy, and they were videotaping the entire show. The entire show was being videotaped.
By this guy, and the ushers did nothing, and you actually politely...
I asked him to stop, and he, let's just say, he threatened us, the bodily harm, you know, which we believed. So, you know, I mean, this
let's call him an asshole. This asshole wouldn't take off his hat for you. I mean, not even the camera thing, but you couldn't see behind his hat. You asked him nicely to take off his hat.
It's hard to view a show you don't see. You know?
And he threatened you with an object that just stabbed 20 people in a high school in Pittsburgh.
So get to the point, okay? So what do you want? I mean, the guy was like, leave me alone. I'm here to videotape the entire show and to be with my babe, you know?
Are you sure he wasn't Stephen Flaherty?
And, you know, what are you going to do? I'm not here to go fight. I'm at the theater, so what do you want? I think, on the other hand, if it's getting people to the theater that never go, it's always a good thing. It's up to the ushers to at least come over and talk to them and to explain to them that, you know, we just can't do that.
Yeah, so I mean,
my job. My job was make the notes and be fair to this show, you know, and I think I accomplished that. I actually gave it 4 stars.
Good Lord, four out of five,
because I felt that, you know, my opening statement, as we want to say, was people came for a fight and they got one. You know, they came to see this thing. The last 45 minutes, this astounding theater. They moved the first 8 rows, I think, or 10 rows of the orchestra up into the stage so they all feel important. It's a great gimmick and it works. People feel, you know, wonderful. They go up there, the thing drops from the ceiling, the ring, it's these people's seats, obviously they got to get them out of there, or they'll become Orange Crush, you know. and they go up there and they have a good time. Isn't theater supposed to be good? Did people expect Rocky to be dancing up a storm here?
I don't think they expect. But I mean, it's. I think that yes, I get tired of the fact that so many Broadway, so many movies are being.
I'm sick of people adapting movies. I'm tired of it.
Right.
Really tired of it. But when they do it well, like Hairspray or Bullets Over Broadway,
right.
When they do it really well, it's fantastic.
And almost always there's some source material for every musical. There was Pygmalion to become My Fair Lady. There was, you know, Anna Lee Owens' autobiography turning into, you know, The King and I. So to say that you can't adapt, everything has to be completely off the top of your head, and what you get then is a show maybe like If Then, where it is completely off the top, and then the critics don't like it anyway. You know?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you can't win. I mean, I think the one big problem here in D.C. is that the critics don't give a new show a really good chance. But the Philadelphia critics and the Philadelphia audiences, they embrace new work, and I think that's why you're seeing a lot of these shows stopping in Philly. I mean, I ran a talk back at one of the shows in Philly, the side friends. And everybody stayed. And here, when there's a talk back, usually three-quarters of them run out of there so fast. But they just all stayed there, and they were elderly, you know? And they just really got into it. They were so well prepared for this thing. We're asking such intelligent questions. So, you know, communities are different. New York is tough because a lot of the people come to New York have buses of people from out of town.
Well, yeah.
Who want to be entertained. And I'm going to defend all these. We were talking about the tickets and, you know, people who come to the show, the dudes and everybody else. If you're paying that kind of money, I want to be entertained. I don't blame them.
Well,
they're trying to figure out what these two stories are that's going on the stage. They want to be entertained. They spend tons of money. So if they're going to be entertained or if they're going to see a movie adaptation on the stage, why not? I don't have a problem with that at all. Just do it well. That's all I ask.
Well, speaking of doing things well, can I ask what's the favorite thing that you have seen not in New York and not a show that ended up coming to New York? What's your favorite thing that you saw in, like, D.C., Philadelphia, Maryland, Virginia area over the past couple of months?
Oh, my God. I don't really know. I have to think. Let me see. Oh! You know what I really like? I like the great production of Les Miserables at a dinner theater.
Oh, okay.
At Toby's Dinner Theater, which got tons of Ellen Hayes nominations last year.
I just can't imagine Les Mis in a dinner theater. Oh, Jean Valjean doesn't have to steal a loaf of bread. Somebody just hands him a dinner roll. He's like, over here, Jean. And then we'll spare you in the next 3 hours. Just, here, take. We have butter. You know. We have half my fish.
You know, the customers, are, that's good, you know. Well, they call them Kaiser instead.
And what about
they did it in the round there, which was very interesting. I'd never seen Les Mis in the round. And they had very innovative staging, so, and great voices. So, you know, I'm a big dinner theater fan, actually. And I think you see some really good theater. You see some great theater. I mean, Toby Ornstein's been doing this for 38 years. She got great training in Harlem teaching kids theater, you know.
Oh, wow.
So coming down to Columbia, Maryland, she's done some astounding work and has been nominated to won a bunch of our local theater awards up against the biggies, you know, like Studio, Signature, Kennedy Center, and all the rest.
Now, can I ask, have you seen the new Broadway Les Mis?
Say that again, I'm sorry?
Have you seen the new Broadway Les Miserables?
No, I haven't, and you know, I'm a big Les Mis fan, and you know, they brought a very 3D-ish production, which I think this is maybe that production over here, which you could see the barricades moving, and you could see people walking down the street.
Oh, wow.
I mean, and marching along. It was, I loved it, and I think that's what they've done here with projections. And I haven't seen it yet. I've seen this thing, you know, 20 times. It's the story of my growing up in an Orthodox Jewish home, you know. Les Miserables or something.
Oh.
But I'm kind of Les Mis'd out, actually.
Well, I didn't realize you were raised Orthodox Jewish. Are you still Orthodox, or you're conservative, or where are you at now?
I think one my best friends took me to a Chinese buffet, that was it, you know.
That's funny.
Cast over, you know.
I'm not
Orthodox. I have five brothers, and I think only one is really Orthodox. The other two are kind of traditional and whatever. We all do the whole gamut here. But my father was a cantor whose claim to fame in Buffalo, New York, was teaching Wolf Blitzer's bar mitzvah, so hey.
Wow.
Huh?
Is your dad still alive, by the way?
No, he actually died during the high holidays, but they always die during the high holidays. What is this?
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things.
During the high holidays.
So does your father have any great memories of Wolf Blitzer's Haftorah portion?
You know what? All I remember is that he was always very smart, and I'm very proud of him as a Buffalonian who could never get a Super Bowl ring for my football player. We're always so proud that he made it. You know, he was always smart and a really nice kid and came from a nice family.
And what did
we Buffalonians are very proud of him.
What do you aspire to do? I mean, you went to college for law, or what was your pattern?
I didn't want to stoop that low and become a lawyer. Actually, I actually went to Syracuse, a branch of Syracuse, actually, in Utica, New York, smaller version of Syracuse, mm-hmm. probably the tangerine instead of the orange, right? And I studied, I majored in unemployment. I was an English major.
Oh, yeah.
Wanted to teach, and then I decided, you know, I'll become a paralegal. I wanted to see if I would like law instead of throwing out $400,000. And so I got involved with Agent Orange and worked with the Vietnam vets, and I'm still involved with that.
Oh.
And worked on nuclear power plant cases and cleaned up hazardous waste in the whole state of New Jersey, you know.
Now, can I ask a quick question? Because, amazing enough, my dad worked in law. He was not a lawyer either. A paralegal does what?
Well, we call ourselves legal. It all depends. What I did was I managed a lot of large cases because...
Managed meaning?
In the old days, I had this almost photographic memory. You know, before computers, I could sit in a courtroom. The other side would be lying. And I would pull the paper. I'd give it to the lawyer. Go get them, you know. I was really good at that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're an assistant to lawyers, basically.
Yeah, and a lot of legal assistants, as we call ourselves, you know, who are trained. I actually went to paralegal school in Philadelphia and got accredited or got a certificate for it. We get our training, basically, out there in the real world in the courtroom.
Cool.
And so I did a lot of those cases where I would sit there and just, you know, throw the paper. I'll go get them.
And did you do that in some way, a leading question here, for baseball?
I did in the beginning work on this Pete Rose investigation, so, you know.
Well, what do you mean? More specifically.
By the way, John Dowd, who I had worked with for a while, great lawyer, the best lawyer I've ever worked with. I was there from the beginning of that Pete Rose investigation, which I can't talk about.
So. Oh, okay. Wasn't that years ago? Why can't you talk about it?
I worked on a lot of interesting cases. I was very lucky.
Okay. No, but why wouldn't you be able to talk about Pete Rose? Wasn't that like a decade ago?
I don't want to talk about him because I don't want to give him any time. I just feel what he did, you know, betting on baseball is so outrageous. But I don't want to give him the time of the day to talk about him.
Well, okay. If we're going to talk about moral questions, here's one for you.
Yeah.
You're kind of a big fish in a medium-sized pond with your website, with the places that you've written for before. You must know, on some level socially, artistic directors, actors, producers, etc., what happens when you run into, and don't you run into, conflicts of interest almost all the time?
Well, the one thing is, obviously, I wouldn't review a show where my best friend was the lead. But, you know, the theater community knows that we are doing a job. I have 5,000 friends on Facebook. They're all in the biz. They're all... press people, they're Broadway stars, they're local actors, they're all over the world, and they're on my Facebook page. I mean, we have like 58,000 likes on my Facebook page from people all over the world who want to know about theater. It's pretty amazing. Conflict of interest, yeah, there are. I don't have a lot with myself because I do a lot of interviewing. I don't do a lot of reviewing. You know, people understand in theater, as long as you're out there and you're honest about what you're reviewing, and my thing is, I tell all my writers, just back it up. You know, I get reviews that hit my desk that I don't agree on at all. I've seen the show and they're raving and I'm pulling hair out of my head, okay? But as long as you back it up, you say why, as long as anybody who reads your review has no question at the end why you said what you said and why you rated it, then we're in good standing here. I just don't want somebody to send me a review that says, this person's terrible, and not to tell me where and why.
Why? Fair, yeah,
so
that's...
We've been very respected here. You know, it's so funny, we use the star system with a lot of sites don't do it. They think it's, you know, not professional. Although there are 30 other sites that use them in this area. But it's funny how they all agree with us 99% of the time. I like that. But, you know, I mean, the star system is hard, but it's also... Especially people who are going into these sites to check it out, they're usually doing it when they shouldn't be doing it, at work, looking over their shoulders. So having a rating there right away, they'll go, oh, God, okay, good, he liked it, we'll read it later. You know, it's a good thing. But conflict of interest, yeah, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't review something that I knew was going to bother me. I just had this problem, actually, with a couple writers. Where someone who was a religious person didn't do their research. Now, I don't send anybody in cold ever to a theater. I don't want them spending all the time trying to figure out what it's about, you know? Mm-hmm. I want them to take some notes on the design and the performances and things they liked or didn't like, whatever. So this person didn't go and went to the show, Sister Ignatius, okay?
Sister Mary Ignatius, the Durang play.
Out of the mind, yeah. Freaked out, didn't want to write the review.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, that important word is recusing. You know, if you feel like you can't truthfully and respectfully review something because you feel you're going to not agree with some political or religious reason here, then you should not be in there. That's how I feel.
Or you spend a paragraph saying, I normally hate this kind of thing, or... you know, I'm biased because ... And then you can take it from there.
Yeah, but I don't want that person in there. Because if you walk in there right away, your first paragraph is, I didn't want to be here, and I was ill-prepared. Well, you get a lot of respect there from the reader.
Yeah.
I don't want you going in there ill-prepared. I'm very proud of that. That all the theaters say, God, your guys are so respectful and so nice and so well-prepared and are such good writers. I hear a lot of that now. I like that.
Well, it's always good to hear. Who are some of the people that you've been interviewing in the past year or so?
I mean, let me tell you, the people that I love to interview are the legends. I mean, I just saw John Kander. You saw him there, right? Opening night. And I, you know, I was...
Wait, did you say John Kander?
John Kander was there.
Wow.
So, you know, I walk up and I think it's him. So I go up to him and he gives me this big hug and he says to me, that interview that we did, you and I and Richard Seff, I don't know if you know who Richard Seff is, but he was their manager. He put Tanner and that together.
Oh, wow.
Okay? And he was on the stage for like, I don't know, a year. He's another mentor of mine. He's, 85, 86 now, and he's still writing for DC Theaters. But he reviews the New York shows for them and writes this column called New York Theater Buzz. And he introduced me to John Kander. He's his best friend, you know. So here I am meeting all these incredibly, you know, people I've admired my entire life.
Such as? Who are some others?
Well, Cheetah Rivera, Valerie Harper, you know. Estelle Parsons is in Velocity of Autumn. Let's give that applause, you know. That's about to open on Broadway. That was a big hit here in D.C.
And you've interviewed her a couple of times, you said.
I've interviewed what she was doing in August, Osage County. I mean, I love her because she's very blunt like us, right to the point, you know, doesn't take the crap. I like that. And she's brilliant, and she's funny. And, she was on Rosie O'Donnell's show. She played the mother, and she won the Academy Award in 1967 for Bonnie and Clyde.
Right.
This amazing career.
Who's a person...
Michelle, I think she has a chance to win the Tony this year.
Now, not to be too negative, but who's a person that you interviewed that turned out to be a terrible disappointment or was mean or awful?
Well, I'm not going to say that.
Come on! Gotta give me a little dirt. Gotta give me a little...
I should say that Julie Andrews had a tough day when we were there once.
No!
The whole Victoria thing, I mean, I thought those stories were... That's okay. okay. People have off days.
They do. But Julie Andrews, oh.
She's having a tough day, so we just...
So was she mean, or what was the deal?
She was having a tough day.
Oh, yes, I know she's having a tough day. We all have tough
days. That's all I'll say. You know, it happens. I mean, I had one person, you wouldn't know him, a local person here, who was drunk and fell off the seat. I've had that. I walked into an interview with this actress who was on Broadway in a show in the 80s that was beating up the director. Blood was flying.
Oh, good
Lord. So I just kind of like stepped out of the way and said, I think I need to come back. So then I come back and I interview her, and she's like interrupting, like I just did to you for the last hour, interrupting the other two people who are part of this trio event or show. And she wouldn't give them so I said, look. So I'd say, hey, are you still there? And the other two, I'm still here, you know. And she got so mad, you know. And so I said to her, I said, you know, when I was a child and I saw you in this musical on Broadway, what did it feel like? You know, it was your first show. And where were you when you got the... She said, you son of a bitch. You're my age, you son of a bitch. How could you say that about me?
Okay. Now, come on, Joe, is this actress still alive?
Yes, she is.
Oh, so you can't... Can you give me the initials?
No.
Oh, all right.
I don't do such a thing. Come on.
No, all right.
You're having a tough day. See how respectful I am? Just trying to, like, you know, follow my own words.
Yeah, but I don't know. I would get revenge. I would say if somebody treated me badly and I had the opportunity to get back at them.
That doesn't do you any good. I hate to tell you, Dave.
Yeah.
Because they never forget it. And later on, you know, I met her... like 2 years later, and she gave me the nicest interview, and she apologized.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, my thing is never burn bridges. And the other thing that I did, and you've done this too, I know you have, is to go to that backstage door and wish everybody well, even especially when they're in a clunker, because they never forget it. And now when I ask to interview these guys who are now big stars and done really well, they don't forget it. They never forget it, and they always say, yes, I would love to interview with them. See that? So I never, ever, you know, Julie had a tough day, but then I saw her at the National Books, Children's Book thing, or whatever it was on the, you know, here at Smithsonian, and she was very nice to me, and, you know, everybody has a tough day. I have a tough day. I can be a bitch, too.
So. Yeah, but that's the thing. The interviewer never has the option of having a tough day. That's the difference. You always have to be...
When there, and I've had times where I said, you know, I don't think this would be the best interview. Could I come back?
Oh, really?
I've done that once or twice where I felt like, you know, I'm not feeling too well today. And I really think I couldn't do justice today. And they would appreciate that. It's only happened twice, but I just didn't think I could do a good job that day. And so they've done it. Where I've had one time where I was recording something and I lost it. I'm sure that's happened to you.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But one of the best things I ever recorded. But, interviewing is great, as long as you're respectful. I keep saying that word, but it's true. I don't go in there. They trust me. If they trust you, okay, and you know that, if they trust you that you're there to, you know, talk about their career and not who they slept with, they will give you the best interview, and they will.
And usually they'll volunteer who they've slept with before you even have to ask. That's the thing. Once they you get going and they trust you, they'll throw you information you weren't even planning to go near. You know, that's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to ever go there, and I've always stayed away from it. And I think that's why, if I call up their agent or their press person and they ask them, "Would you like to interview with Joe?" They always say, "You're damn right."
Mm.
You know, of course. So, and I like that reputation, actually.
And I'm very thrilled that I've been able to do this interview with you, Joel Markowitz. You know, I mean, it's just been absolutely a delight. I want to ask you about one or two more shows before I let you go. So what's one or two more of the spring shows that you caught? I think you really like Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder.
Let's talk about, what is it called, Gentleman?
A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder.
Oh, my God, that was so much fun. I mean,
yes.
Where has this show been? I know I missed opening, but... You know, Jefferson Nays, who won the Tony for I Am My Own Wife, he played, I don't know, how many characters there? 40? 50?
7 or 8, well, yeah.
My dad, it was crazy. He's playing, what, 36 here or something like that. And here he's singing. He can sing, this guy. I love this show. You did too, right?
I thought it was terrific. I really was so pleasantly, well, I mean, I wasn't surprised because the reviews for it were very, very good, and it said it was very smart and very sharp and clever and well done, and Jefferson Mays is great fun, and they were all absolutely right. So I went in kind of already expecting to like it, and it didn't disappoint, I guess is the opposite thing, as opposed to going into a show I don't expect to like and being pleasantly surprised. And two sides of the same coin.
With that one, for the first time, I think, in decades, I went in there cold.
Oh, wow.
I just decided, you know, I don't know anything about this. I was walking to get my blintzes at the Edison Hotel.
You are so Jewish, man. Yeah, yeah.
And they finally put it on the menu, finally. But anyway, it was on the wall for years, you know. But, and then I walked by the Kerr, and the only thing I remember about the Walter Kerr is the seats are so small, I could never fit into it until I lost the 90 pounds I've lost the last 2 years. So I was happy to say I fit in there barely, but I fit in. Great. But I said, what is this show? So I called my friends up and they said, what, are you crazy? Come on, Mr. Theater Man. You got to go see this thing. See, I've been away from New York for like a year and a half.
Oh, that's right.
Because I was recuperating, you know, from all this this nip and tuck thing with my back. And I was working on this site 18 hours a day. So I really kind of didn't even read Playbill for months on end, you know. But now I'm back, and so,
Welcome back.
I saw this thing, and I went in, and I was like, I loved it. From the opening number, I just loved it, because it wasn't adapted from a movie, was it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It was adapted from the classic Alec Guinness Ealing comedy, Kind Hearts and Coronets, which is a wonderful film, and which I saw only about...
See how stupid I am.
No, it's not stupid. It's, you didn't know. But...
You know.
But in this particular case, I mean, the movie's wonderful. I just saw the movie again a month ago in sort of preparation. But the show is different. It follows the storyline.
Yeah, what's the... Tell these listeners why it's so different.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a different kind of experience, of course. It's a little more farcical in some ways. There's a... The Ealing comedies that Guinness did, and they're wonderful, like The Man in the White Suit and The Lady Killers. I mean, it's a terrific series of films. There's humor, they're droll, they're dry, they're brilliantly plotted, they're gently done, and Guinness is marvelous. The theater is broader. It pushes a little more towards farce. Plus, you've got songs, you know, it wasn't a musical before, so it turns into musical comedy with very smart, funny, clever lyrics. They're all in sort of a Gilbert and Sullivan-y patter vein, with a lot of limerick rhyme schemes, like A-A-B-B-A. But it all works. It's appropriate for the show and the time period.
And for the characters, too.
Right, right.
It just
works, and it's funny, and there's sight gags that are really clever, and obviously I'm recommending and reviewing the show, but I'm saying the movie's great, and the show is also great, as opposed to...
Like we were saying, once in a while, they really adapt it well.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, yeah. Let me ask, Joel, what's your favorite play or musical of all time?
Oh, my God. Well, I think, you know, Fiddler is always going to be up there for me.
Oh, yeah.
It means a lot to me. You know, a lot of people call it the perfect musical, you know, and I think about, there's nothing I would change in that musical, ever.
I know, I can't really disagree.
Sweeney Todd to me is like, you know, it's just awesome.
Yeah.
And I mean, I always have a pie at intermission. It's always fun. You remember those little Debbie's pecan pies? I can't find them anymore, but I used to always take my social group to the Ushers to see Sweeney. We all love Sweeney, so we would go to at least a Sweeney or two a year, right? And I'd always pass out those little Debbie pecan pies at intermission and see how many would dare eat.
So more pot pies?
Yeah. I love Sweeney Todd and Gypsy, of course, which I think the best book musical of all time. And they just did a great... Joe Clark, I want to give a little plug for Joe Clark, who's a brilliant director. He's done work in D.C. and New York and all over the place now, and Philadelphia. Did the greatest production of Light in the Piazza I've ever seen. And I love the original New York production, but boy, that guy can direct, and he just directed Gypsy here.
Joe Clark, okay, yeah.
So, there you go.
Okay, and I keep saying last question for Joel Markowitz, last question for Joel. This is actually going to be the last question for Joel Markowitz. What's the first play, and it could be a children's theater, it could be any, but what was the first play that either you ever saw or that made an impression on you as a kid?
Let's see. I think we have to go back to Gypsy. I think that was...
Wait, how old were you when you saw Gypsy?
Oh, God, you don't want to know. I was probably 4 or 5, very young.
So could you even appreciate it in a way?
I could, actually. And so all I remember is my ears are still hurting from Merman, you know? I was in the last row. I could you just don't have people like that anymore who could just enunciate. Without having a mic up there, you know what? I mean, woman who never missed a performance, right? It was incredible. So I remember that. I remember Fiddler.
Right.
I remember it was Herschel Bernardi, who even Jerome Robbins thought was the best heavy of all time. But Zero was obviously quite remarkable. And those are the things I remember. Those are the shows I remember.
Okay. So glad I got to ask that last question of Joel Markowitz, who is the publisher, the editor of DC Metro TheaterArts.com. And remember, that's theater with an E-R, DC Metro TheaterArts.com. As a matter of fact, as soon as we get off the phone, Joel's going to snap up the URL for DCMTA and maybe even, get the other one for theater with an R-E so nobody has a problem. Just it's cheap. Just go do it.
I did get all the REs and the ERs of everything else, all 32 of them.
So. Right, exactly. So thank you so much to Joel. Everybody, please visit his website, and wishing you, first of all, much health, continued convalescence for your back, and continued great theater, not just in New York, obviously, but in that whole D.C. metro area. Thanks so much for being with us in the neighborhood.
Thanks a lot.